Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. We're back, and this time, it's personal.
Now that's personal.
Welcome to Road Sodas.
Now that's a road soda.
Sorry, I Joan showed me this video where a guy is, I believe, a union worker, but also making fun of union workers.
Oh, is it the now that's union work guy?
The now that's union.
Now
baby.
That's union. Yeah, yeah. I've seen some of that kind of stuff.
Look at this guy. He's bagging up a hose with a cigarette in his mouth. He don't give a fuck. Now that's union.
Yeah, I saw. He was just, there was one dude just like eating a sandwich, like in full, you know, like PPE gear. Just in a diner.
Yeah, high viz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was just like, eating on his lunch break. Now that's union, baby. Just like, yeah, I mean, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah, that guy rules.
Kicking his legs up, and he's like, we get to relax most of the time.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's fresh on the brain.
Oh, no, unions have been... I've been crushing it lately.
Right? Really? Because the one I'm a part of doesn't seem very powerful.
I should say the UAW has been crushing it, and then I guess
the RWDS for, I don't know why there's a four in the acronym, but yeah, that union, not the greatest. Mm. I mean, they're part of the New England Joint Board, but. Come on, we all know how powerful the joint board is.
Fucking, I've been fucking ripping doinks being part of the New England fucking joint board.
Well, yeah, ever since every New England state legalized weed, with the exception of New Hampshire,
yeah.
The joint board has really controlled it.
Now, that New England Blunt Committee, very different vibes in there.
Yeah, well, it is Massachusetts after all.
Yeah. And the New England Office of Bongs. I mean, ain't nobody got time for that. Oh, shit. Is this the Cat's debut on the pod?
Yeah, probably.
Hell yeah.
He pushed his way through the door. Get over here, little guy.
So, young Tim, obviously a cat fan. He likes a cat. He's got a cat. His wife's got a cat. But, and he's a big baseball head, too. So, He told me he'd seen, you know, the photo of you and your boy, and you're, yeah. Oh, look at him. What a sweetie.
Yeah. Can you say something into the microphone, buddy? Just once. I just need you to, anything. Yep, perfect. He's a perfect cat.
But I was like, oh, shit, Tim, yeah, James got a cat, and it's named after a baseball player. Maybe you'll know who it is. So I was just like, it's Carlos Ruiz Shaw, and he was just like, huh. I was like, is that a bad player? He's like, no, it's just unexpected. I don't know. He was like, it's a Philly.
So it's very oddly specific. Yeah, the guy had like 7 years in Philadelphia where he was the starting catcher, but I don't know. They were a big 7 years in my life.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Tim had nothing against it. He was just sort of like, "Oh. All right. Sure."
Yeah.
Yeah,
I really like Carlos Ruiz, player.
I like the name. It's a great name for a cat.
Yeah, well, and he's got nicknames too,
of course.
Yeah, it's important to have like an official government name for something, and then you have something short that you call it.
Oh yeah, what's the point of owning an animal
if you haven't shortened their name somehow?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the nature of life. You know, that's like a Fibonacci ratio. Like it's just how it goes.
Mm. It's true. It's true. I used to make fun of specifically my uncle he nicknames everything in his life. Like,
yeah.
Everything's got nicknames on nicknames on nicknames. And I just kept being like, "Man, that's nuts." And then I got a dog. And I was like, "Okay. I get it." I get it.
But like dumb nicknames or, you know, like useful nicknames?
I'm going to say dumb.
Yeah. Because I mean, with surveying stuff, you know, every old timer I worked with, they're always like oddly racist.
Ooh.
It's like, hey, I need that jig. And it's like, don't call it that. No, you know, the thing we pop manholes with, it's like, it's not a jig. Like, you might be talking about either a pry bar or a magnet, but like neither.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's tough. I know diagonal cutters, which I use and you probably use, have a nickname that also just, you got, I think it's largely been dropped by blue collar guys our age, but anybody older than us is, you know, still calling them dykes. And it's because it's diagonal cutter smashed together, but it's still like, I mean, just stop. Like,
well, it's also how you hold back a river.
Yeah, I feel like that one's still...
But that's a levee, I guess. Dyke is more of a holding back the ocean.
Yeah, and I feel like that's not my argument to have, you know? I'll let the civil engineers take up that one.
I also feel like that's like a European term. Like, it's like a Dutch, you know, dyke.
Yeah, I think the rest of the world, they just call them lesbians.
Yeah, right? Unless you're in Greece.
Or in Lisbon.
Yeah.
Then you're a lesbian. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there is an Isle of Lesbos.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it's full of thespians.
And equestrians.
Yep. All right. So the reason actually I brought the cat on is, you know, I'll bring the cat on every time we have to do a stat correction. And I did get a stat correction from last episode.
Excellent.
We weren't wrong about Marty Walsh, but our man, the greatest guest in the world, Papa, let me know that Marty Walsh is the head of the NHL Players Association, like the Union for Hockey Players.
Cool.
So that's why Union was fresh on my brain. I was thinking about Marty Walsh, you know, just like going down to the ice rink with like a styrofoam cup of coffee. Just like giving shit to some NHL general manager, and it's like, now that's Union.
Oh, that's good to think about. I like that.
And there he goes. He was able to shut the door behind him.
Yeah, he shut it behind him both times.
What a good little guy.
Did you see the mechanism? Was that his tail? How did he do that?
So. He's got reflexes that they're almost cat-like.
Go on.
No, actually, I think that might have been Joan.
Okay.
Yeah, doing a little movie magic for you.
Ooh, little peek behind the curtain.
Yeah, who knows? Oh, there's another cat in here. All right, that's why.
Wait, you have two cats?
I'm kidding.
Okay. I was like, what? This is... two cats... Two cats is fine, but a new cat every week does very quickly become a problem.
Yeah. You know, but the cat toys, they get way cheaper as you go up. Like, cat food, more expensive. More kitty litter in the budget. I get that. But cat toys, it's like, they play with themselves. I've gotten just a life-size, infinite, you know, energy cat toy, basically.
Yeah.
When I get another cat.
That's true.
But no, the other thing in the room making noise is the radiator.
Mm. Radiators are big this time of year.
Okay. It's true. It's true. Not just in your car. You can have them in your house.
You've been doing the, obviously you got the radiators going. You've been doing any fires yet in the fireplace? You've been.
No, because I got confirmation that, like, we might die.
Yeah, that's right. But... I forgot. I remember you got inspected. I just, for some reason, I thought you also had it, like, resealed or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, like, so the flue should have been 12 inches by 8 inches. Instead, the flue at the top is 8 inches by 8 inches. But at the bottom, because it's kind of collapsed, is more like 4 inches by 6 inches. Ooh. And so, like, yeah, it's half the size of what you want it to be. And I think I mentioned, yeah, there was a shitload of smoke staining on the front of it. It's like, yeah, so obviously I was saying to the fireplace guy, like, it looks like somebody either didn't know how to build a fire or, like, just, you know, it's been wrong the whole time. And he's like, yeah, it's probably a combination of that.
Hell yeah. Well, I hope you can get it fixed one day. But I can also appreciate that, you know, house projects go in
an order of importance.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it'd be nice to have a crackling fire, but I think we're going to end up just putting like a fucking stove box in there or whatever.
Those are also very nice.
I, you know, like we could do the one that like fits in there nicely and is kind of like flush with the wall, but I was thinking more like just like a wood stove and have just divert the pipe out there, because then you have like a hot surface as well that we can make tea on.
Hot surface is nice.
Yeah.
I follow an old guy on Instagram who
I'm glad you said on Instagram. I follow this old guy.
I just follow him around.
I saw him picking up wood. I wanted to know what he was doing with it. And like, sure enough, he stokes a fire all the time.
Yeah, he doesn't turn around that fast, so it usually gives me time to hide behind something. If you're going to stalk somebody, make sure it's an old man. But he's online there, and he's got he was like an early era computer programmer who then retired and found out he has Parkinson's, and so he decided, one, he wanted to get off the grid, but also his doctor basically told him that like the cold can help, so he just moved to like truly rural Quebec, like on a lake, just fucking
yeah,
out
like
there.
Up there,
yeah,
you know, they say what 90 or 95% of the Canadian population resides within 100 miles of the border with the United States. Yeah, he's not one of them.
No, not at all.
Type of thing. Yeah. Okay.
And he's just this sweet old man, and he's definitely gaining in popularity now. But one of his earliest videos, before he like it was the early ones were very, very short, and people were like, "What do you do to stay warm and stuff?" And he's like, "Well, I got this wood stove, but also here's a trick. I've got this rock," and it was just this like, maybe like almost human head sized smooth rock, and he puts it on top of the wood stove while he's eating dinner, and then he puts it inside his bed after dinner, and then that night when he gets into bed, the rock has heated up the whole bed and cooled down enough that it's no longer burning him, and he snuggles up to his large head sized rock. And
wow, all right.
There's just something very like
insane about it.
It's insane, but it's also like, I know there's that meme going around right now where guys will look at that and be like, hell yeah. But as somebody who, we have audio recordings of me saying hell yeah for years now, like, I'm not hopping on the trend. When I see that, I just go like hell yeah.
Yeah, one of the guys at the shop the steward started making fun of me because I say yeah man all the time.
Yeah, man.
I was like, there's nothing wrong with that phrase.
No.
And every time I say it, it is appropriate.
Yeah. Reagan had some friends that were talking, like, I think maybe a year ago or something, about how, like, nobody says, like, it rules anymore or that rules. And she was like, oh, like, what? Ben says that all the time.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You clearly haven't met my my husband. Yeah,
and I feel like you say that. I feel like a lot of... Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's an
that
East Coast
fucking
thing.
Rules.
Well, no, Tim, it rules. Tim rules. Says that. Yeah. I don't know.
Somebody's been reading sponsored content too much. It's like, these phrases that nobody says anymore. Dude, tops the list. It's like, I mean, I don't know.
Earlier, when you said when you were going to be setting your nap alarm to wake up so that I would know what time we could do the pod, I responded with sick.
With two eyes.
It's with important. At least two. I went for three, but I was on BART, so I might have only fired off two.
Yeah, that BART is taxing your eyes.
It's true. And it's this inflation, man.
Well, is it getting you like it's getting in Argentina?
No, I don't know what's going on in Argentina.
They're having a lot more inflation issues than we are.
Okay.
But it's okay because they have, you know, a nut basically running for president or prime minister or whatever they have.
Oh, he'll fix it.
Who says he's going to fix everything? Which, hey, I love a quick fix. I love a simple solution to a complex problem. And like when you can offer that, especially in hard political times, the more the better.
That's the thing about a quick fix, is they always work really well and permanently.
That's why they called it the final solution.
Ooh.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Coming in spicy today.
My bad. Hey. I didn't realize National Socialism was making a comeback.
Yeah, you know, the more you read about stuff, the more you start to think, hey, maybe it never actually left.
Yeah, like maybe they just rebranded it.
Maybe the real National Socialists were the friends we made along the way.
Whoa, okay.
You know what I mean?
You're going to Golden Years pirate this?
I mean, I did have a friend in Boston. Friend is a strong word. I did have a guy that I hung out with that definitely told me he used to be a neo-Nazi. And I was and he was like, "But I'm you've met him. I won't say his name."
Yeah.
But the guy that was like 20 years older than us in the band room next door. And he was like, "But I'm reformed now. That was fucked up. You know, he got like all his tattoos covered up." And I was like, "Hey, you know, I can at least appreciate a guy like changing his mind." I saw him like talk to a few, you know, dudes that were going down seemingly the wrong path. And I was like, "All right, nice. That's cool." And then he like started getting drunk and going on Facebook and just putting up like real harsh rants with real harsh words. And I was like, can't hang out with him anymore. Ooh, that was.
Yeah. And this isn't like a Josh Hader situation where it's like the dude was clearly just a drunk racist teenager.
Yeah. No, this was an adult. This guy was like 40 spouting off. Yeah. Cause he's like 50-ish now. Yeah. So he would have been about 40 and just firing off fucking, I mean, just vile shit. And all the comments on Facebook were like, dudes being like, "Hey man, where are you right now? It's I can come over there and we can come and delete these posts. Like maybe just go to bed, man." Like everybody,
"Hey man, where are you right now? I can come over and stab you if you want."
No, unfortunately, everybody was just trying to, you know, hide their own kind of a thing. But it was disappointing to see.
It's like, dude, save it for Parler. Come on.
Yeah, dude, you're not supposed to say these things publicly. You're tanking your social stock. But, you know, these things happen, I guess. And by these things happen, I mean you meet a person that you don't realize is a huge piece of shit. And then you find out they are.
That's the thing about people, is we're all people.
Yeah.
You know? Just some of them are Nazis, and you're like, whoa. I did not know that was still, like, in the realm of possibility. I thought we won.
I really didn't. That was very eye-opening for me to be like, oh, fuck. Like, they walks amongst us.
Yeah, that dude's a Nazi.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I don't know if he had the same re-education program that Leni Riefenstahl had, but whew.
Now, who's that?
She's that director that did the Triumph of the Will and Olympia for the Nazi Party. Like George Lucas got a lot of his like Empire stuff. for Star Wars from like her shots and things. Like there are some like shots of like Darth Vader walking into a room full of guys where it's just like, oh yeah, that's a Leni Riefenstahl shot from like the Nuremberg rally.
Gotcha.
Oh shit.
when Chewie doesn't get the medal, that's Leni Riefenstahl shot.
Leni Riefenstahl.
Riefenstahl.
That's right.
Yep. And did they like remaster those shots and added a bunch of like weird animals?
You know, I don't think anybody's remastering Leni Riefenstahl.
Hey, that's good.
You know, it's bad enough that her stuff is still out there and still watchable, but anytime you bring in the word master, it can be remaster. Masterclass, but like you just don't want to do it with Nazis or former Nazis. Like you just, then they start thinking, it's like, well, there are masters here.
That's
true. Have been around for a long, long time. It's like, don't go down this path. Don't start this shit.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe they came from outer space and it's like, all right, you fucking nutball.
We're gearing up to record again. We're not gonna have that LP mastered. No way. Simply mixed.
Yeah. Who wants to keep their masters anyway? What's the point of that?
I mean, if Taysway doesn't need hers, then I certainly don't need mine.
Is Taysway not owning hers?
I think she doesn't. I think a record company does, and she wants them back, so she's re-recording all of her songs, like, note for note.
Nice. That won't encounter legal battles.
It's just interesting because it's sort of like on the one hand, of course, an artist should own their their created work. And on the other hand, she's like causing more like greenhouse gas emissions than like I don't know, 50 countries combined. And she already has more money than God. So I am like, she's hard to, I'm rooting for, I guess I'm rooting for her in that, but it's also like, kind of like, what are you doing?
It's the individual over an industry at this point, but yeah. They're both still kind of bad.
Yeah. You're just like, ah, okay. I mean, yeah, but like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, music is a tough one. Like movies. Okay. You can say like, that is a ripoff. That is an absolute ripoff. And thank God, you know, they named it something else so they could make $200 billion on it. Music, it's just like, hey, Elvis released this identical song to a guy, and he made it popular, but, like, that guy, you know, deserves a bunch of credit. And it's like, yeah, we're not going to give it to him. So fuck off.
And stop asking. We're tired of you doing it. Yeah. You do this every time. We're not going to do it.
You can't keep saying music is derivative and not, you know, derive some of the profits to the people who it was derived from.
You can't keep saying music make you lose control. Music make you lose control. You can't just keep saying that.
Ain't nothing but a hound dog, baby.
Elvis, not a guy I ever gave a fuck about at all.
You know, I used to think in the Pulp Fiction debate of what kind of man are you, like Beatles man or an Elvis man. I mean, I was definitely musically a Beatles guy, but I think Uma Thurman would definitely see me as an Elvis man, like usually.
Yeah.
Like I feel like both of us would be Elvis guys in her eyes.
Definitely. Even though I am definitely neither as far as like a fan of. But yeah, if I had to pick.
Yeah.
I guess I'm more Elvis. I'm also one man. I'm not four British men. I'll tell you that for free.
Well, like the Beatles are, they're for like high schoolers. And I feel like that's where I like them. It's like, ooh, Across the Universe came out. And it's like this big, long music video for a Beatles thing. It's like that was nice.
You can also be really annoying in the early part of college about the Beatles as well.
I actually met a girl who was annoying that way about Rod Stewart. And I was like, really?
Whoa.
Like Maggie May is like the best song ever? I don't know about this.
Wow.
I guess she really liked raspy voices.
I mean, like,
it's like, just wait till you hear Tom Waits.
I guess I don't have anything against Rod Stewart specifically, but just like this is one of those guys where you're like, of course he's got diehard fans, but it's just, it seems so odd to me that anybody
that
would be like,
a 19-year-old would like, yeah, be like, oh my God, I finally found the artist I was looking for. I didn't realize Forever Young is like my jam.
Yeah. And just one of the two Forever Youngs. Because there's two different songs.
Yeah, not the Alphaville version. I'm talking about the one where he's holding the ginger baby.
The kid that's not his, even though his kid was that age. That's fine. That doesn't matter.
Yeah. Look, would you have preferred like the Turn Back Time if Cher used like a stunt kid? I think I would have. Cause like Cher's showing a lot there, and her kid has to like look at her ass for the whole video.
I mean,
kind of weird.
I kind of feel like we're looking at this from the wrong angle. Like, what if the video? What if their behavior towards the children in the videos were just dramatically different? Like,
yeah, okay.
Like, what if we went with their children and just had them behave normally in those videos instead of being weirdly romantic with their children?
Into it, yeah, okay. Yeah. I think, yeah, all right, maybe the Navy would have liked the song better.
Just one man's suggestion. Stop being horny with your own children in 80s music videos.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
I feel like they're both 80s.
Yeah, well, they're both 80s people. Like Sonny and Cher,
I mean,
all right, that's
yes.
70s.
But Cher solo, that was 80s into 90s.
Yeah.
Because that, that's the one. That was 90s, if I'm not mistaken.
Of course it was, because we heard it in gym class in the very early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had a gym teacher who liked to play Shania Twain and Cher.
I kind of forgot about that, but yeah, Yes, we did. A lot of Shania Twain.
We were very musically inclined in our middle school gym class.
Yeah. A lot of Shania.
Right?
Yeah.
It was accessible. You know?
Hey, I'm not mad about it. Whose bed have those boots been under? Am I right?
It's just a shame, like, when you hear, like, a Shania... look, you pretty much only hear, like, the hits, like, the top-of-the-line hits. But, you know, in the mid-2000s, late-2000s, Shania still was getting some B-sides on the radio. And it'd always be weird if you knew more than of the words than you should.
Yeah.
And that happened a lot to me.
Gotcha. See, yeah. I always wanted to be the guy that knew the words to the obscure songs. So I was probably very jealous/proud that you were like crushing it in gym class with all the lyrics.
It's not even crushing it. It's just that like it you know, got into my brain through osmosis. Like I was just around it enough to the point where like you hear it 5 years down the road and you're like, man, I feel like a woman. Damn it. Shit.
I mean, that song's a banger for having almost like one chord for like the entire verse.
Dude, I heard the baseball team warming up to that like a couple of weeks ago. I was like, first of all, guys, it's fall. You should be thinking about the weight room, like getting inside.
Yeah. Yeah.
But secondly, like you're warming up to Shania Twain. Now, I get it. It's probably the coach who has control of the radio. But still, somebody like didn't say, hey, coach. This is the dumbest song for a baseball team in 2023 of college kids to warm up to. Like, this isn't even ironic. Like, this is just painful. It's actually hurting me.
I'm taking so much damage right now. Your Honor, I'm taking damage. I'm down to like one hit point. You gotta cut Shania. Or put on a different Shania song. I mean, there's options.
Yeah. And it's like, all right, they warm up to Doja Cat too, but that's at least contemporary, where it's like, all right, if you're going to play Shania, can you at least play Shakira too?
Ooh. Like,
I would warm up to Shakira 1,000 times over before I'd even think about warming up to Shania.
What happened to just warming up to classic rock bullshit? Songs about cars and tits and...
Are you giving the MGK argument?
Is he a classic rock guy?
No, MGK is the classic rock radio station in Philly.
Oh, yeah.
2.9 MGK.
WMGK.
Yeah, sorry. Are you giving the John DiBella argument where it's just like, why can't music be about wholesome stuff anymore?
Like the devil and tits.
Yeah, like people selling dope in Philadelphia and a roving band of youths beating up on Johnny.
I heard a probably apocryphal story today, but I wanted to share it
with
you.
That's a good word. Love apocryphal.
It's a pretty good word. And I believe, what's even better, I'm pretty sure I'm using it correctly.
Sick.
But apparently, Van Halen read a review in like Rolling Stone or another, you know, high-profile music magazine. And the reviewer was being extremely critical of them. And they were like, look, they just write vapid, dumb party songs about rock and roll and girls and fast cars. And someone in the band was like, we've actually never written a song about a car at this point. And so they wrote Panama.
Nice.
Just as like a, fuck you, here's now a song about driving around in a car.
It's like their third most famous song.
Yeah. It absolutely slaps.
For like a massive, you know, worldwide recognized band.
Yeah. So I have no idea how true that is. I could have Googled it. I don't want to. That's another thing that I just like having it in my head. And, you know, no one poo-poo that. Let me have that.
Yeah. Yeah. So ease up, guys. Really, seriously.
Yes. Our highly, highly critical fan base.
All right. So did you... You want to do like a Halloween update? Because I got a bunch of Halloween updates.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Because yeah, we recorded the last one on the 30th. Came out on the 31st. Spooktacular. I hope you guys like the monster mash that we did in the middle there. But did you see anything about anybody in Massachusetts handing out something that wasn't candy for Halloween?
Boy, did I. But please continue.
Because a guy bought like 25 Costco rotisserie chickens and gave people the option. And he was like, candy or a rotisserie chicken? And like, once people caught on, they were like, oh, great. Yeah, chicken.
Yeah. And not only did he do that.
Four kids who said yeah, but then like they would go back to the parents and the dad would be like, give him the candy back. We're absolutely taking the chicken.
Yeah. And yeah, not only did somebody do that, he looks a hell of a lot like our friend Eric, who is from Massachusetts, and would do something like this.
Yeah.
He actually had to make a post being like, hey, thanks for all the love, everybody, but this is not me. But it really does look, especially when it's like on your phone shrunk down, it looks so much like Eric.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So that's why I heard about it, was just...
Somebody was like, this has to be you.
Yeah.
Like, doing this crazy East Coast shit.
Yeah.
But that was that guy's dream. Like, he wanted to... Like, he's financially stable enough to the point where he can just buy 25 Costco rotisserie chickens and be like, hey, kids, I have candy, but I can also offer you rotisserie chicken.
I think that's great. I think that's really, really nice.
Yeah, that's like a really solid dream. I cannot believe, you know, I can believe that I don't have a dream like that. I just can't believe that I haven't thought of something that like that dumb that would bring so much joy to people.
Yeah. I hear the stories about people trick-or-treating, you know, when they're going around with their kids and they come to a house where they have candy for the kids, but they also have like, you know, a shot or something like this for the parents. And like, that's cool, but that's been done.
Dude, I'm glad you specified, because we're taking the cat in tomorrow to get it shot. So I was thinking like you're just like, yeah, I got candy, but I also got this needle for you. You got typhoid? Yeah, you ain't gonna.
You worried about tetanus? Because we can nip that in the butt. But
yeah, that rusty nail you stepped on the porch. Guess what?
That's tetanus, baby.
But this is just so much sweeter because, like, yeah, like if you're walking around and you're an adult and you're like, I can't believe it happened.
I could really fuck up a rotisserie chicken with my hands right now.
Well, you get to a point where you can't just eat unlimited candy, and it happens not recently. This happened to me a long time ago that I can't just eat infinite candy anymore and feel fine.
But, I'm going through. I think I recently hit the all right. I'm good with candy point in a day.
Yeah. Yeah. There's.
And that's like the first. Cause, like, don't get me wrong. It up in Vermont, the survey company that I worked for up there, like, the candy bowl is like the source of morale. Like, it had to go away because of COVID, but when it came back, like, the candy bowl was solid. Like, the candy bowl was, you know, it was the gathering point. It was the meeting place for all the survey crews and whatnot.
Oh, that's
and
so
I
nice.
Remember one time, waiting for my boss to finish a phone conversation, and while he was having that phone conversation, just eating all of the candy out of the candy bowl. And feeling fine. Like, absolutely fine.
Yeah.
But now, if I did that same thing probably 2 years later, I don't think I could.
Yeah. But if you're just walking around for hours with the kids, and all you got's some fucking candy, I mean, I know we got some parents that listen to this right in. If, like... I imagine you're munching on just the kids' candy as you're walking around, and you can get tummy ache. But I feel like, just like how drinking, if you go out and, you know, have some glasses of water in between a few of those drinks, I feel like if you have some hand chicken, just have a few mouthfuls of hand chicken in between your Reese's Pieces, in between your Milk Duds, in between your whatever those little black and... It was black and brown, or black and like orangey wax paper wrapped. Were they caramels? What were those? Those were ass. Was it molasses? They're
I don't know, but they're
unlabeled.
Buy them.
Yeah.
All the candy that I bought had names and faces. Like, it was downright pleasant candy.
Yeah, and that candy would always end up in the candy bag, and it was like, it's unlabeled. How do you even? What is this at the store? So, anyway, I feel like the chicken thing would be great for everybody. Plus, I mean, who doesn't love chicken?
Now you have parents, you know, like, the kids go out with, like, a pillowcase, and the parents go out with, like, a sack of bread slices. It's like, yeah, well, that guy's got chicken over there, but I hear they're handing out salami down the street, so I got like a three meat sandwich brewing right here.
What if we
need a guy who's handing out cheese?
Well, yeah. What if we turned Halloween into like a weird reverse potluck, where like instead of everyone bringing a dish to one place, you travel around taking a little bit of food.
Everybody's got a hibachi on their porch, and you just show up and throw down some onions.
Yeah,
and they're like, "All right, great. Yeah, that's what we needed."
Yeah.
Actually, do you have any green onions, like shallots or anything like that? No. Okay, white onions.
The Williams do. They'll be here in a little bit, I think. There.
Nice.
They ate too much candy. They had to go grab some Tums.
Yeah, and then you get to the one guy who has a walk, and it's like, dude, come on. Like, you going to stir fry all of this?
Asshole.
I was thinking about that, though, because we have like a nice little front yard area that's perfect for handing out shit to people on a sidewalk. Like, it's fenced in. It's only like 10 square feet, so you can only fit like one person in there. But you can hand over it. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's like dick height for me. So
nice. It's
perfect. But instead, we stayed on the porch this time. But yeah, having like a grill in that area would just be perfect. And it's just like, yeah, you kids want a hot dog?
Brat?
Like, you want some of that bullshit candy?
We got Twizzlers and we got brats. What are you thinking?
Yeah.
We got Capri Sun. We got Pabst Blue Ribbon for the dads. Hey there, pal. Grab yourself a brat.
Now, we had been talking about what I was dressing up as for Halloween. But,
yes.
My handing out candy thing was, I did not go as a Kurt Russell character. Because, I don't know, too many people, I was a little afraid. I was a little afraid Springfield wouldn't get it. So I wore a tri-corner hat and that Civil War-ish coat that I have.
Oh, I know the exact coat.
Yeah. And guess what? Nobody thought I was a patriot. Everybody was like, that's a pirate. You were in a tri-corner hat and like a big overcoat. Like, that's a pirate.
Yep.
Or at least a ship's captain.
Absolutely. I mean,
yeah, a single person was like, hey, man, thanks for fighting for the independence. Or like, you know, George Washington is my boy. None of that. It was all, you're a pirate.
It was all, bro, the Oops All Crunchberries is my favorite.
Exactly.
Even though the Captain Crunch hat is not a tri-corner hat. It's like
it's a Nelson hat.
Yeah.
Or it's a half Nelson because your arm's up there.
Nice. Nice.
But yeah, so I'm thinking all the patriots that we have, you know, in our collective conscious, like the character image of a patriot, guess what? That's a pirate.
Yeah.
I think in like 20 years, you aren't going to be able to distinguish patriots from pirates. People are going to go to like the Patriots doing the Patriots games and be like, hey, those guys with muskets, what are those pirates doing on the side of the field? And it's like, oh no, these are the New England Patriots. It's like, yeah, I get it, but like, why are they wearing pirate hats?
You mean to tell me that there's the same mascot for the Pittsburgh baseball team and the New England football team?
Yep.
You're telling me those are different? Yeah, I guess I feel like horizontal thin stripes are still very associated with the sea in general.
And I was wearing a white shirt with thin navy stripes.
Were you really?
Underneath. So, like, I was kind of tipping the cap.
Okay. Pirate. What was your eye patch situation?
I wasn't wearing the eye patch because I was afraid to. Because guess what? I would go to a post-Halloween party, you know, a post-Halloween costume party this past weekend,
mm-hmm,
as Snake Plissken. So I got plenty of...
Fuck yeah.
My depth perception fucked with. you know, the first couple of grabs when you haven't really calibrated yourself to the eye patch, they're rough.
I feel like the people who thought you were a pirate just aren't fully thinking through the process, because if you were going to be a pirate, you'd wear an eye patch and
probably
a hook hand, peg leg.
So,
like,
well, let's think of famous pirates to us.
Blackbeard. Edward.
No. We're talking Hook. We're talking Dustin Hoffman.
Oh,
Hook.
Yep.
All right. Who's the other pirate? Shmee. Bob Hoskins. I was going for more of a Shmee look. I went with the glasses.
Yeah.
And the beard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gave off the vibe of a ship's captain, but I'm really looking more for a Smee.
Look, captain's a lot of pressure.
It is.
But being a Smee, it's,
yeah,
you're just having fun. You're just running around being Bob Hoskins.
Yeah, loud, boisterous bard on the ship, you know? Yeah, he's an informant every now and then, but who isn't?
We've all snitched a time or two.
Yeah, we're all rats. Come on.
That's what makes the world go round.
All right, so I got to say that seeing the trick-or-treaters and also we went to a hockey game this past Friday, seeing the kids at the hockey game too, I got to say, like, Springfield, look, there's no way to put this lightly, but, like, they're on the spectrum, you know?
Nice.
We all are. That's why it's a spectrum.
Yep.
But, like, the amount of parents who are... it's a good cover. I mean, it's like saying ADHD, but like saying like, yeah, my kid's autistic. That's why he's not like grabbing candy right now. It's like, he could just be shy. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm standing on my front porch. Like, I'm not like, you know, the most welcoming presence.
Yeah.
Like,
I get it.
I'm a big scary pirate.
Yeah.
So you don't have to cover for the kid. You could just say, yeah, he's shy.
We had a few kids where I opened the door to let them at, like I wasn't in a costume because I just got done with Italian class, you know, and
is the costume.
Yeah, I opened the gate with the bowl of candy there, and then Yeti comes like rocking up with, and he's got good threshold boundaries, so he doesn't leave the door, but he does put his feet on the edge of the door,
nice,
like, threshold,
nice. And,
which means his head is now like a foot past that, and all he wants to do is show them his toy, like whatever he's grabbing. That's like,
right,
because
he sees people as like, that's somebody to play with, that's somebody who's gonna have fun with me.
Well, first he's
you,
like,
guys are good dog parents.
Well, first he's like, hey, there's somebody at the door, this could be bad. But then when he sees,
yeah,
once we've signed off on, well, them by being,
you
like,
have,
oh,
trained him and you pay tax on him as a Cana de Guardia, we know this
exactly. And so, yeah, so now he's like, you got to check out this toy. But they're like a child dressed as Iron Man. So at first they're like, ooh, candy. And then they're like, holy fuck. And,
nice.
Also, I think we had one kid say trick or treat.
Okay.
The rest, and I'm not going
to
be the
and
old
man. And you weren't prepared to give him the old man? And he was like, trick.
I wasn't prepared. Like, I hope I'm never the guy who's like, you got to say trick or treat. Like, I'm not going to stand on ceremony. But I also was a little bummed out that, like, I mean, I just held the bowl out, told him to take a couple, you know, go nuts. But,
dude, we had teens, and we were just like, grab a fistful, like, if you can. And they were like, really? We'll come back next year. And I was like, fucking come back in 15 minutes, dude. The bowl ain't empty.
Our last ones that came by, I'd made the mistake of turning off the porch light, but not turning off the rest of, like, the Halloween lights. And so they came by at fucking, like, 10:15 p.m., they weren't in costume. Their parents were just in a car out front. So clearly they were just driving around trying to grab the last of the candy or whatever. And the daughter was there was a boy who's probably, I'm bad with kid ages, but probably
this is like a real West Coast trick-or-treating experience that, yeah, you're describing to,
yeah,
me.
The boy was probably in the 5 to 8 range and the girl was in the like 12 to 15 range, and she was just like, we happen to have a chair on our porch right now, she was just sitting in the chair, and I just opened the door and neither of them said trick or treat, and she's got that bored teenage look, like she's kind of like slouched, yeah, over,
she's over it,
yeah, she's slouched over, and it's like, I didn't invite you to my chair, man, I'm sorry you're bored, but like, go have fun, why are you bummed out on my porch?
Yeah, yeah, if you wanted candy, I mean, there was a window here,
yeah,
like, it's,
I mean, I still
it's
gave her
pretty
some
much
candy
the same every year, yeah, but like, yeah, maybe like a nice 5 to 8 p.m., 5 to 9 even. I'll give you, but like 8:30, you can't expect candy. You can't sit on porches expecting candy after 8:30.
Yeah. That being said, I happen to have some candy left over, and it, you know, again, can't be having all that candy because my tum tum. So.
Yeah.
I
was happy with the amount of candy that we brought inside on Halloween night. It was like, it was enough to where like we got the candy that we wanted on Halloween night,
mm-hmm,
and then maybe the next day. And then after that, it was like, great, it's now and later's left. Like, fuck that.
Yeah. The punishment candy.
Yeah, fucking Warheads. Because we got like the Costco mix of sweet stuff. And so they had like Haribo gummies and like Skittles and shit and like nice good stuff. But the dense stuff that fell to the bottom are Airheads and Now and Laters. So like that's what's at the bottom of the bowl.
I like an Airhead. Is that...
Or not, it's not Warheads.
Warheads,
sorry.
Okay.
Airheads are good. Yeah, Warheads suck.
They're not good. I don't like them.
And I remember buying like bags of them as a kid, and it was like, why? I was just punishing my taste buds.
I remember.
It was just like chewing off the lining of my intestines.
Yeah, I remember you doing that, and I would try, like, I'd spit them out. I was like, I can't even pretend to enjoy this.
Yeah. And guess what? They're the same. I tried them again. It's, you know, it's just a hard candy covered in like the most sour, lemony, you know, citric acid dust.
Yeah. It's no good.
Yeah.
So, can't do that.
You know what? Hear me out. I'm thinking we drop a bunch of Warheads into war zones and try to get the people distracted at least. You know?
Sure.
Because maybe they won't focus so much on killing each other if they had awful candy to unite against.
And then they'll get they'll be like, oh, I get the name of it. I get it. They're being cheeky. They dropped Warheads on us.
Yep.
I get it.
Then they'll shake hands. Then they have to shake hands.
But what's fun is that this is still going to be evergreen as far as an episode goes, since we're gonna be bombing people. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
Yeah.
No one. It's timeless.
It truly is.
All right. So the best costume I definitely saw was a. I don't know if he was a kid from my block, but I've seen him around. But he was wearing a Department of Corrections like orange jumpsuit, and I was like, "Your parents bought that for you?
Hell yeah!
You go.
how old do you think the kid is, roughly?"
I would say maybe 10. He was probably 9.
Fuck yeah.
But I was like, man, you just busted out. Like, all right.
Hell yeah.
So like, if you need to play, I was hitting him with the jokes. Like, this was pretty heavy end of the night. This was probably like 7:45. So like, I was hitting my stride with meeting people. You know, the first couple of kids, you're just like, here's a candy bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You're not expecting the trick or treat, you know, and the kids aren't giving it. So you're just like awkward. But by this time, I was like, you know, seeing people coming up the block and like thinking about the material I was going to use on them.
Hell yeah.
And yeah. I mean, this was one of the kids that like the parent was like, yeah, he's autistic. And I was like, no, he's just shy. I get it. But yeah, I'm also like, hey, what do you bust out of the Hampden County jail or you bust out of the city lockup that they got off of the police station?
I got caught stolen. I was stolen stuff. I was out there stolen. My mama said she called me stolen, so I'm in my little jumpsuit.
But yeah, I thought that was, you know, I guess there are pictures of like my brother dressed as a hobo, and like I think I dressed as a hobo at some point in my Halloween career. So like, not that far off. Like being a bum, like it's yeah. Not that far off from being a prisoner.
Yeah, I remember you being a hobo in high school.
Not during Halloween, just a bum.
No, during Halloween, we were going okay. Around your neighborhood, and you were a hobo.
Yeah, that was probably the last Halloween that I, you know, Halloweened.
Yeah, well, we just walked around your neighborhood. We didn't actually trick or treat because we knew we were way too old for it. We just got dressed up and walked around. And at one point, somebody's parent yelled over it. It was like, aren't you guys old to be too old to be trick or treating? And one of our buddies responded with, aren't you too old to be alive?
Yeah, we were cut ups like that.
I mean, with just no pause, just an instant fire.
Also, bank. Like the teens in my neighborhood would go trick or treating. Hell, I remember a girl up the street who was a year ahead of me, but like came by our house at like 5 o'clock. You know, like we're definitely either sitting down to eating dinner or still making dinner.
Yeah.
Like rings the doorbell, so still light out. And it's like, oh yeah, we got to get to the Newark High football game. And it's like, okay, so if you have a Newark High football game that you're going to, guess what? Like you don't get to trick or treat early and get candy. Like,
yeah, that's insane.
That's not how this works. Like if you're driving to a football game, guess what? Your trick-or-treating days are over.
You can't have your foot in both aspects of that. You gotta commit.
Yeah.
I feel like 12 is generally considered the cutoff, but again, I'm not going to stand on ceremony. Get out there and have fun. Do whatever the fuck you want. Especially if you're like an older sibling taking your younger siblings. Then like,
dude, yeah. And like our neighborhood teens, I mean, they definitely heard that we were just giving it away because like that's what Halloween is. But I'm thinking next year, you know, when we hit that like 7:45, 8 o'clock point where it's like, how much longer do you want to do this, Joan? And she's like, not much more longer. I'm just going to say to the kids, like, all right, anybody whose hand is smaller than mine can have as much candy as they want.
That's good. That's good. It'd be better if you had like really small hands.
Yeah, I know. No, I have big hands. Like that's the whole point. Is like no child in this neighborhood has bigger hands than me.
Yeah,
yeah. And it'll give me a way to slap some skin with the neighborhood kids.
Gotta love that.
Yeah,
gotta love that.
But yeah, so this past weekend, like 4 days after Halloween, we went to a Halloween themed party, and I was Snake Plissken. I was visually impaired. Basically the whole night because of an eye patch. I would not recommend unless you want to know what it's like to lose your depth perception.
Which maybe like you do.
You can still gauge distances, like, you know, just based on context clues of where stuff is. But, like, you know, taking your index finger and thumb and, like, picking up a pin is, I don't want to say impossible, but, like, it's a lot harder.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, right. Somebody at the party was like, I was surprised you left the eye patch on as long as you did. And I was like, would Snake Plissken take off the eye patch? I don't think so.
No fucking way. He needed it.
But there was a lady there who was like when I told her it was a Kurt Russell character, she was like, oh, you do look like Kurt Russell. You should just be Kurt Russell for like every Halloween. And then she, like 15 minutes later, she came back and she was like, man, you really should have been Kurt Russell from Tombstone. And I was like, well, I mean, right now I kind of look like Kurt Russell from, you know, either The Thing or Escape from New York. Kurt Russell in Tombstone is a very different look than what I have.
A dramatically different look.
But yeah, then Joan and I were talking about it. It's like, so is there a logical arc of characters that you could be? It's like you start out with Snake Plissken and go to MacReady, and then like it finishes with Captain Ron.
It certainly finishes with Captain Ron.
Yeah,
because his current roles, he has like normal hair, like he doesn't have the long hair anymore, and like no facial hair. Like
that's the other thing. Joan was like, "All right, so if you have to scale back the hair and facial hair, like then it ends with Backdraft. Like I just end with a flat top and clean shaven."
Yeah, or Mr. Nobody from the Fast and Furious movies.
Okay,
but he's kind of just a guy in a suit in that. Like he doesn't have any
like Death Proof. Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing on him that's unique to the character. He's got like a normal haircut and no facial hair. And he really likes Belgian beer. That's like
Kurt Russell's thing?
In the Fast and Furious movies. That's like,
oh, okay.
Yeah, because Dominic Toretto is all about the Corona, and Kurt Russell's character is like, you got to try these Belgian beers. And like that's the character development you can expect from the Fast and Furious franchise, is that two of the characters, they like beer, but it's different beer.
Okay.
So there's tension.
These are driving movies and they like beer.
I know.
You're sending the wrong message here.
I know. I couldn't believe it either. Well, they show you what happens when you drink and drive. You die and then come back, and then you die again, and then you come back again.
You know what they should do is they should ride around on electric bikes, because those things do not seem to be bound by the law.
Yeah.
Ah, sorry. I just had to shoehorn a little personal grudge I have.
I'm okay with it. I'm good with it.
And also, why are you putting fat tires on an electric bike? Who does that?
A lot of people out here.
I know. Although, a lot of people out here. A lot of people everywhere.
Good news. The self-driving car company that almost ran Reagan and I over when nobody was inside of the car. They just had all of their licenses revoked. So
sick.
Yeah, that's very exciting.
I mean, at that point, like if I got almost run over by like two or three cars, like I would just start carrying a brick around, and then the next car I see is just you smashed the windshield. It's like, fuck you.
So that was basically starting to happen, which is
pretty
great to see. It was people
of,
just
of course.
Spazzing on these cars. And also a bunch of enterprising youths like discovered that if you take a
traffic cone
and toss it on top, they freeze.
Yeah.
It's like
gotta love that, like, okay, we have a self-driving car. It's like, this is supposed to be like the pinnacle of technology. Oh, wait, the sensor port is all in one space. Like,
yeah.
That if you just put like a piece of tape over it, guess what? It fucks up the whole system.
Yeah. It's so good.
That's awesome.
It's so good. So that was cool to see that all they had to do was kill a few people and, you know,
outside of the car, they ran over people outside of the cars.
Yeah, no, I don't think anybody inside the cars have ever died, but they like to drag people around a little bit and cause major traffic jams. And for a little while there, they couldn't. It seemed that the specifically the cruise cars couldn't get enough of running into police cars, which was interesting. They just loved hitting police cars.
Did you encounter any while you were driving?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they were everywhere, dude. Like, you couldn't...
okay.
There was thousands.
Were they
thousands
easy to cut off?
So that's the
like,
thing.
If you're in, like, traffic, like, could you just, like, edge in front of it and it, like, would have to yield?
Yeah, same thing with Teslas.
Sick.
Teslas have
that, I love that.
That auto-braking feature as well, even with people inside, which is nice. But
I love doing that, like, to cars in the Boston area. Like, even when we were on our bikes, it was just like, if you knew they had the auto brake, you know, you just get a little close to them if you feel that they're threatening you.
It's yeah.
Like, and then the guy honks at you, and it's like, hey, it's not my car that broke, you know, because it thinks I can't handle it.
Yeah.
It's your car.
Yeah.
It thinks you can't brake.
Yeah, no, those fucking, I would do that when we were like in moving traffic, but if it was like, if you came upon one and it was stopped, that's like, that's the most terrifying when a cruise was just sitting there not moving because you know it's about to panic.
Would you call it cruise?
As the name of the car. Like it's the name of the
Chevy?
The company. Yeah, so they were all, it's GM and they're all Chevy Cruises. And
nice.
And
not nice. GM sucks now.
But, yeah, and the company's called nice. Cruise.
That sucks.
But
cool. They got all their licenses revoked. Good job, guys.
Yeah. One time we were coming.
Maybe
up,
we'll try this again in 5 years.
A bus had broken down. It was two lanes going each direction. This was at night, you know, so there's no other cars around. A bus has broken down, and there's just a Cruise behind it, waiting for it to move, you know, but
in its algorithm it thinks the bus is going to continue.
Yeah, and so
it's just dropping people off. That's
and
all
so
it's doing.
I inched up, and then once I got to like right behind it in the next lane, I floored it to get past it, and then right after I did that, it like leapt into the left lane, like as if it was trying to like do a pit maneuver.
Wow.
Only now it's like perpendicular to the road. And then it had to like back up and wiggle its way back into the left lane and then just go around the bus. It was awesome. It's truly the future.
I mean, that is why, you know, driverless cars will not work is like, all right, you're trying to apply a system of standards to something that should be standardized, but like the fine tuning of like, hey, there's a rock in the road. You know, you just got to steer around it. Like the program doesn't expect nefarious youths.
Yeah,
like the program is not designed for a bus breakdown.
No one is ready for nefarious youths.
I know.
Well, I think we should land this pig, Jimbo.
All right.
You got any advice for any nefarious youths out there?
I only have advice for nefarious toddlers.
And as we say every week,
go fuck yourself. And that's not to the toddlers.
God fuck us, everyone.